Our speaker is Ben Bailey.
We walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Welcome to our study of the book of 2 Corinthians. This book, Paul is dealing with his defense of having the right to be an apostle, and he's offering some various encouragements to the churches that he's writing to, or to the church in Corinth. In chapters 1 through 4, we have faith. We walk by faith in the promises of God, who He is, and what He's promised us in His Word. Now in chapters 5 through 7, we walk by faith in the plan of God. And that plan takes us back to the very beginning of time. God, before time began, had planned a way to save man. Titus 1 verse 2, 1 Peter 1 verses 18 through 19. This chapter especially, 2 Corinthians 5, will show us how God's plan uniquely ties together in motivating and encouraging and offering salvation to the child of God. As we think about this, Paul begins 2 Corinthians 5 by making a point that we've got to keep focused on heaven if we're going to realize the ultimate plan of God. Part of God's plan in salvation is for us to have that home and place we call heaven. But to do that, you've got to distinguish between this earthly house and our heavenly home. You've got to realize between the temporary and the eternal, between what's important and what's not important. Notice the words of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. Paul says, since in verse 18 of chapter 4, we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, he then says in chapter 5, verse 1, we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul says in chapter 4, our light affliction, it's just but for a moment. It's temporary. We don't look at that which is temporary, but that which is eternal. And then he says, for if our house, this body, is destroyed, we have a heavenly home not made with hands. Friends, if we're going to have faith in, and if we're going to be true to the plan of God, we've got to realize that this earthly life, our body, is not what really life is about. Oh, it's true. We walk in the flesh. We live in the flesh, but we don't fight a fleshly battle. 2 Corinthians 10 verses 3 through 5 teaches us our battle is a spiritual battle. And while we do have to live in this physical temporary shell, it's not what's important. It's not what masters me. I must master it. And I must realize that my heavenly home is the most important of all things. In Hebrews chapter 11, the saints of old, they look for that city whose builder and maker was God, heaven itself. Revelation 21, the encouragement is also offered to Christians not to focus here on the earth, but rather to focus on heaven. Revelation 21 verses 1 through 4, we're looking for a new heaven and a new earth where there'll be no more sorrow, crying, death, tears. All the former things have passed away. In view of all that, how we need to put worldliness and materialism aside and focus on godliness. James 4 verse 4 teaches us the danger of worldliness. James says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not realize that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore desires to be a friend of the world makes himself God's enemy. You can't have the best of both worlds. You can't live it up in this earthly house, in this body, and have every fun and pleasure you want and somehow still think you're going to go to heaven. You've got to focus on the eternal, on heaven itself. Paul gives us the right mindset. In Philippians 1 verse 21, Paul said, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Living for Jesus is what this life is about, and death is only a benefit. To do that, we've got to follow the words of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 6 verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But you know, to go home, to really have that groaning, you've got a desire to have the proper clothing in this life. Look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2. He says, in this we groan, not that we want to be further clothed, rather be clothed with the eternal things. We've got to desire in this life to be clothed with the eternal promises and the eternal plan of God. Friend, our clothing initially begins as we obey the gospel. Galatians 3, verse 27 says, as many of us as were baptized into Christ have clothed ourselves with Christ. That clothing in this life is what we live that is pure and holy. It's been washed by the blood of the Lamb. And ultimately, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed, the Bible says, from an immortal to a mortal, from incorruptible or from corruptible to incorruptible. We'll be made like Jesus. Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, our body will be in that sense. And while we may not understand all of that, don't you groan and don't you desire to be clothed with that kind of body, to be clothed in heaven itself? Don't you get tired of the aches and the pains and all the things that go along with this temporary shell? And don't you one day want to put that off and have a home and a body that'll never fade away? That's what God has promised us. And again, we don't claim to know all the details of that. We're not saying at all that we do, but we do know this. God's given us that promise, and it's something we ought to desire more than anything to have. And so we groan for that heavenly home. More than anything, that's where we want to go. Paul said in Philippians 1, verse 22, I'd like to stay here and help you, but I'd rather really go and be with the Lord, which is far better. Did Paul want to stay and help Christians go to heaven? Absolutely. But he said, I've got a better desire, which is to go and be with the Lord. Our groaning must be more than anything to go home. Revelation 14, verse 13, the Bible says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Friend, I want you to think real seriously for a moment about this plan of God, His plan for us to go home with Him one day. And I want you to ask yourself this. Do you desire to stay here on this earth more than you desire to go to heaven? Think about that. If it came to it right now and you had a choice to make, and the choice was stay here or go to God, go to heaven, what would your choice be? You know, sometimes that'd be a difficult choice. We'd say, well, I'd like to go to heaven in a few years. I'd like to go to heaven after I've lived out a full life. I'd like to go to heaven after I've accomplished these things. Our mindset cannot really be that way. We've got to groan more than anything and desire to go home with God at any moment if we're really going to partake in the plan that God has so richly blessed us with. And so we've got to have the mindset of being homesick for heaven. Look in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Notice the attitude of Paul. Paul said, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We need to have the feeling of being homesick. You ever gone on a long trip? Maybe you had a son or a daughter who was in war, and they went across the ocean to the other side, and they were gone for a long time. Don't you remember that homesick feeling? You've been gone too long, and you desire to sleep in your bed, to sit at your table, to be a part of that residence again. That feeling of being homesick is the idea we ought to have concerning heaven. We ought to be homesick for heaven more than anything else. Have a desire to go there and be with God more than to stay here. But to do that, we've got to walk by faith and not by sight. I've never seen heaven. I've never seen Jesus. I've never seen God. But my faith is the way in which I know that they exist and that heavenly home exists. I want you to look again at the words of 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. It's a very simple statement, but look at the importance of it. Paul says, we walk by faith, not by sight. We've got faith that our body's going to be changed. We've got faith in that heavenly home. We've got faith in the Savior and God and the Bible. Well, what does that mean, we walk by faith? Does that mean that it's just a leap into the dark and although there's no evidence, we've got this warm, fuzzy feeling deep down and we go, oh, there's a God and I just feel it? No, that's not what it means to walk by faith. How does a person, according to Scripture, walk by faith. What is faith? Is faith that warm, fuzzy feeling, that leap into the dark, and although we have no evidence, in just a superstitious way, we just say, well, I feel it. God's there. I feel it. Is that faith? No. Faith is always based on evidence. It's something that is sustainable, and it's something you can be sure of. Now, how is it that we can have faith in God and Christ in heaven when we've never seen any of those things? Because God has given us ample evidence to know they exist and to put our trust in them through the Word. How do we get faith? Romans 10 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And my friends, it's impossible to please God without faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6. And so as we talk about walking by faith, we're talking about walking by the teachings found in the Bible. I get faith as I read and understand, as I study the character, the nature of God, as I look at His promises and His dealings with man. Throughout the centuries, I can know God hasn't lied. Hebrews 6 verse 18. He cannot change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13 8. And thus, when we talk about walking by faith, it's not a leap into the dark. It is solid foundation based on the evidence God's given us. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith is substance and faith is evidence. How do we have substance and evidence? Well, I have substance and evidence of God based on His Word, the Bible teaches, and based on the things that He's left for me to know Him. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Look up at night and say to yourself, wow, what a great marvel of evolution. Oh, you're not going to say that. You look up at the stars at night as they twinkle, as you look at all the many things that have been created, and you're not going to say, well, that is a great accident. No, you're going to say, there's a great God out there who made that. Acts chapter 14, verses 11 through 17, God has not left Himself without witness. He's done good. He's given us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons. Look at the change in the seasons, how it always stays constant. That's God doing that. We can know God exists. We can know Jesus came. You can look at the evidence historically in the Bible, and you can trust in the inspiration of God's Word. All Scripture is inspired by God, and when God says it and we do it, we're walking by faith based on evidence.